Amen. If you'd like to read with me this morning, take your Bibles as we get into the Word of the Lord. Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation the 3rd chapter. Those of you that been on Wednesday nights and I think a couple of Sunday nights know that we've kind of worked our way through the churches of Revelation. And Wednesday night, we had a tremendous, tremendous service Wednesday night. And Brother Chad Drosty went through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and probably shouted more Wednesday night than he had his entire life put together. Amen. I don't know how many times that he shouted, but man, the Lord was real and powerful, and I'm glad that God is still alive. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe God vindicated his word to us Wednesday night, that he is alive and moving in the hearts of his people. And today I just felt directed of the Lord to look at this sixth letter out of the seven letters that Christ has written to his churches. And again, if you have your Bibles, the second chapter, just kind of turn back a little bit, and I encourage you to go back and read these letters. Because I feel like the Lord just kind of spoke to me earlier in this year. We hear a lot of preaching about the parables and the miracles, and we should, and that is great, great preaching. But after the resurrection, these are the specific letters that Christ wrote to the church. And so we as the church, we don't have to use parables and miracles to extract the principles of God's word and try to preach from symbols and shadows. But I believe this is the substance. This is the exact word that Christ wanted delivered to his church. And so the churches at Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis are powerful, powerful letters and principles that we apply to our lives. Today, our study takes us to the church at Philadelphia in verse number 7 of the 3rd chapter. The Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." May the Lord bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The church at Philadelphia. Philadelphia interpreted is love for the brethren. Love for the brethren. So I want to preach to you this morning on the church with a charitable heart. The church with a charitable heart. Notice the introduction of Christ. Those of you that have walked through our study know that it's important to notice how Christ introduces himself to every one of these churches. And notice the introduction of Christ in verse number 7. He says that, "I am he that is holy, I am he that is true, and I am the doorkeeper," or "I am the one that has the keys of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth." In this city of many false gods and false temples, Christ writes and he says, "I am he that is holy, and I am he that is true." I believe we're still serving that true and living God, don't you? In a day of confusion, in a day that is probably unparalleled in American history, that we are allowing anything and everything to be called God, and people are putting their trust and their confidence in many false gods, and even archaeologists study comparative religions. There might be a lot of comparative religions, but Christianity is not one of them, because Christ is alone, and Christ is the only one that retains the title Savior. Savior. There are many men that claim to be God, but Christ claimed to be a Savior. And I'm glad that I know Him today as my Savior. I know that He is God. I know that He's Creator. And I know that He's all-powerful in many things. But I'm glad that I also know that He is a Savior. That He is the true Redeemer. You say, how do you know that? Well, number one, the Bible tells me. But secondly, I've been to an altar, and I know that the Spirit of God changed my life. And I know that the Spirit of God is alive in me, and the man that I used to be is not the man that I am now. The things that I used to hate, I now love. And the things that I used to love, I now hate. I'm glad for the changing power of Jesus Christ. But notice also, He said, I am He that has the key of David. You know, we don't have time to go through our study, but if you go back to Isaiah chapter number 22, there was in Israel's history a man that was over the treasury that put his trust in Egypt. And God said, I'm going to remove this man from office, and I'm going to put a man in charge that he trusts me and has a confidence in me, and that man will have the ability to shut doors and open doors, and he has the key of David. So this little church at Philadelphia receives the word from God, the same word that was given to the true people of God, that God is the doorkeeper, or that God has a set of keys that the devil does not own. And I really want to come this morning and ask you, are there doors that God is wanting you to walk through? How many believe that God is the divine doorkeeper? That He opens doors that you can walk into, doors of salvation, doors of blessing, doors of healing, doors of deliverance. He has many doors that He opens in our life, and the devil cannot shut those doors. But then there are doors that God closes, and the devil cannot open them up, such as the door of forgiveness. There's things in my life that God is closed, and they're forgiven. And when the devil tries to open them up and to resurrect those bones of failure, and those bones of wrongdoings, and those bones of mistakes, what sins are you talking about? Amen. I know the divine doorkeeper. I'm glad for that this morning. I say the devil is a liar. God is greater. And what God is forgiven, let not the devil bring up, but it is forgotten in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And friend, that ought to make all of us shout this morning. Amen. It ought to even make the Baptists and the Presbyterians shout. Amen. And the rest of you, whatever you claim to be, it ought to make you happy to know that God has the ability, that when we've done wrong and made mistakes, that He can cause His forgiveness to permeate our life. And we can stand this morning saved and redeemed and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The world will say, well, do you think you're perfect? No, no, no. The world can say, well, haven't you done wrong? Oh, yes, 1,000 times, yes. But it's not about me or you this morning. It's about the power in the name of Jesus Christ. It's about His mercy, and it's about His forgiveness. It's about a God of second chances. And so He writes to this church at Philadelphia and says, I am the doorkeeper. I have a set of keys that the devil does not own. Matthew 16:19, Jesus says that He had keys to the kingdom. Revelation 1:18, I love this key right here. He said, I am He that was dead, but am alive forevermore. Do you remember what He said? And I have the key. He said, I have the key to death and to hell. I'm glad for that this morning, friend. I believe that we're serving one that has a set of keys, that has all power in heaven and in earth. Matter of fact, keys to death
and to hell. Revelation 20 and 1, this one the devil really does not like. For the Bible said that God owns a key to the bottomless pit. And one day he's going to cast hell and the devil into the bottomless pit forever. I believe we're on the winning side this morning. Amen. I believe we ought to be a redeemed, rejoicing people, because the God that we serve, he has the key to death and to hell. And so he wrote to this church at Philadelphia. He introduces who he was. But notice, secondly, he gives them an invitation. Verse number 8. He says, I know thy works. Behold. Notice this. Take notice. Sit up and watch what I'm getting ready to say. Jesus says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. He gives them an invitation to walk through an open door. Studying about this city in history, it was known as the gateway to the east. It was placed strategically on trade routes, and those that traveled through knew that Philadelphia became the gateway or the door to the east. It is God that writes to this church at Philadelphia. Now, later on, he gives to them some particulars of their church situation. But notice, before he gets there, he says, I have an open door. I have an invitation that I'm extending to you. Hear me this morning, church. I believe that it is the word of God that is fresh and new in our life today, that God has open doors that are set before us. Amen. There are some particular as a church, but let me give it to you individually. And is there someone here today? Amen. God is setting before you an open door. Maybe an open door of forgiveness. Maybe that all that stands between you and a new beginning is that threshold of God's forgiveness. Really, I mean, think about it. A door doesn't have to be very, very thick. I mean, only what separates me from this room and that next room or the outside is just a few inches of a door. It's only one threshold that you've got to go through to leave this building and to go outdoors. Can I tell you, the devil wants you to think that the blessings of God are so far away. The devil wants you to think that forgiveness and salvation and healing and deliverance are so very far away. Amen. But really, I feel like the Spirit of God reminds us today that God's blessing and God's forgiveness, it's only one threshold. It's really, let me break it on down, it's only one step. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, you can be here today and have all kinds of trouble going on in your life. Some of you probably here today have made mistakes and are wondering, amen, does God even really love you? And have you done too much for God to even forgive you? And the devil's telling you and painting this picture like God could never ever bless you, or the blessings of God are so very, very far away. But I'm going to preach to you this morning that the blessings of God and deliverance and salvation and redemption and the second chance and the new beginning that you need, it's really only one step. Amen. It's only one step away. All you've got to do is make one step toward God and say, God, I need a new beginning. Lord, matter of fact, you don't even have to make one step physically. All in your heart, all you've got to do right now is to throw your voice toward heaven and say, God, I need a new beginning. You say you got Bible for that? Oh, absolutely. There was one of Christ's chosen disciples by the name of Peter who was walking on water. He made some mistakes by looking out at all the waves, and the Bible said that he started sinking. He started going down. He didn't take another step. The Bible said all he said, he cried out and said, Lord, save me. That's all that it takes, really. I mean, a new beginning, a new start, a fresh start, all the mistakes washed away by simply saying, Lord, save me. And so Christ writes to this church at Philadelphia and says that I have set before thee an open door. Can I preach to you that God is a God of open doors? He's a God of unlimited opportunities. Amen. God's got good things in store. God's got blessings in store. But how many times do we allow things of this world to stop us from going into the blessings of God? Amen. I want you to think this morning, what open doors does God have set before you? What doors? Doors of healing, maybe. Amen. Anybody need divine healing in your life? What about encouragement? What about a door of encouragement? A door of redemption? What about for those that are already saved? And you'd say, you know what? I'd like to get busy serving God. There are doors of divine service. I believe Christian service. Now the next church, the seventh church, is Laodicea. You know what that church was? It was the church of a closed door. It was the church that closed the door and put Christ on the outside. And he said, I stand at the door and knock. That's the seventh church. But the sixth church was a church that he did not condemn, but he commended. And he said, your door is open. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it's a door of open opportunities for sinners to be saved. Amen. Oh, yeah. I believe it's a good day. I believe there's a lot of things going on in this hour. I know the devil would love for us just to walk the floors at night wondering how we're going to make it, what we're going to do, and all that kind of thing. But the problem is we're getting our eyes on ourselves. Amen. But I love what Christ tells this church. Amen. We'll get to in just a little bit. Amen. I love that he identifies a few things about them. But it is this invitation, this open door. Let me ask you this question. If God has blessings in store, if God has opportunities in store, why would not we walk through this open door? Well, for some, it's simply delay. Some, they're simply going to walk through that door, but they're going to get around to it later on. Maybe next month. Maybe next year. Maybe when they get married. Maybe when they have kids. Maybe when they grow up. Maybe this, maybe that. They're going to get around to it someday. Well, let me preach to you this morning. George Faircloth was planning on getting around to it. And I pray somewhere along the line he had an opportunity. But you and I are not ever promised tomorrow. God does not promise us tomorrow. He promises today. That's why your Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable year of the Lord. That's how God works. He works in the now time. He works in the right now moment. So I believe that God has set before you an open door. Now there are those, some that sit there today and say, you know what? I believe God's got blessings in store for me. I really believe God would bless me if I do that. I believe God would save me. I believe God would forgive me. I believe there's joy unspeakable if I'd walk through the open door, but I'm just going to do it at a later date. Others, there's just doubt in their life. There's just fear. You know, I took my Bible the other day and the word peradventure stuck out to me because I started reading it a little bit, and perhaps is the rendering, but really if we broke it down to modern language, it'd be somebody saying, what if? What if? What if? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if? And there's a lot of folks that are that way. I'd walk through that door, but peradventure, the devil might get upset. Have you ever heard somebody testify like this? You know, I'd really like for God to bless me, but that'll stir the devil up. I know God's going to bless me, but boy, the devil's going to fight me. I'd really love to walk through that open door, but that'd make the devil awful mad. Like the devil's got more power than the God they serve. Hey, friend, let me tell you, anytime God opens up a door, amen, you don't have to pray about it. The reason he opened the door is because he's inviting you. It is because he is beckoning you. You know why we close the doors? Because of fear. Sometimes we say, what if? Matter of fact, the disciples, after the resurrection in John chapter number 20, the Bible said they were hiding behind what kind of doors? They were hiding behind what doors? It was closed doors. Why? Because of fear of the Jews. You know why some of us don't risk it? You know why some won't walk through the doors of opportunity, the doors of Christian service? Well, I might fail. I might make a mistake. What if this and what if that? And the devil has their mind so perplexed that they sit there and miss out on the blessings of God. Can I tell you, God loves you. God loves you immeasurably. God loves you eternally. And if he opens up a door this morning, I say by the grace of God, get up and walk through it and receive the blessings of God. And on this 17th day of October, amen, wouldn't it be great if God picked up his pen in heaven and he dipped it in the blood of Jesus and he wrote your name in the book of life because you stepped through the door of salvation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody today just received the command of God as God said, go ye out into the world and preach the gospel. Hey friend, we're in a day where there are a lot that are closing doors and they're huddled together for fear. But I believe the trumpeting message of God's word is this, that he has said before us, open doors. Let us be like Abraham and leaving the city we know, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Let us be like Esther that rises to the kingdom for such a time as this. Let us be like the Apostle Paul that rolls over in the middle of the night and sees a Macedonian vision of those that are saying, come help us. I said, it's a day of opportunity. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of miracles if we simply will walk through the door. But I hear the identification of Christ about this church, and I love this, because you know what we do? As soon as we see the open door, we start taking account and measure of ourselves. Well, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I have the ability. Well, I'm not worthy to receive. Well, none of us are worthy to receive salvation. That's why it's grace and mercy. I said, that's why it's grace and mercy. If we earned it, it'd be works. But it is the grace and the mercy of our Lord. But notice what Christ says, and he identifies this church. He said, thou hast a little. I don't know how little, but little is little. Thou hast a little strength. Just a little. But Christ said, that's all I need. Because it's not about you, it's about him. Notice this was not a church where everything was running over and exuberant and it was in the midst of an explosion. It was, they had a little strength. But before them was an open door. And he said, you have kept my word. Notice verse number 10, he said, thou hast kept the word of my patience. How many would really like if God worked on your time table? I mean, come on, let's be honest. That's not a trick question. How many would you'd like God to work on your timetable? Some of you, about five honest people in the whole building today. We got a bunch of lost sinner in this building. You know every last one of us. Both hands up and I got feet up. I'd like for God to work on my time schedule. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't. And he never will. That's why he wrote to this church and he said, thou hast kept the word of my patience. You're going to be on the winning side. He tells him later on, he said, you're on the winning side. You just may not see it right now. You may see all of the trouble that is surrounding you, and you may see all of the circumstances, but I want to preach to you that you have kept, there is something to be said for people that keep doing the right thing in the midst of dark days. There's something to be said for people that will not be based on their emotions and just simply do the right thing because they know that it's the right thing, that at some point in time that God will vindicate his word. You hear me today? If you live by God's word, if you apply God's word and you do everything that you know to do, there may be days that it runs on rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. There may be days that many are the afflictions of the righteous. There may be days that you're cast in prison and in the lion's den and the fiery furnace. But that is not the end of the chapter. If we quit there, we're failures. But he said, thou hast kept the word of my patience. And thank God for those that have went down into the lion's den, but they watched God become a lion tamer. Thank God for those that have went down into a fiery furnace, but seen God in the form of Christ as the fourth man like unto the Son of God. Thank God for Paul and Silas that can be beat, bloodied, and bruised and put in a prison. But at midnight, they can strike up a song and begin to worship and magnify the name of God. For this I know, that serving God is not an exemption from trouble. It's not an exemption from heartache. But in the midst of it, I have somebody with me. I've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And at the end of the story, God will vindicate His word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Away with this. Based on emotion. It's the dumbing down of America, really. We've become a society that's based on emotion. Based on emotion. Why'd you do it? Well, I just felt like it. Now, I expect it out of teenagers a little bit, young people. But when you're a mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you just got to do the right thing because it is the right thing. I said, you've got to do the right thing for no other reason because it is the right thing. Well, I just didn't feel like it. What's your feelings got to do with it? Well, are you a robot? No, I'm not a robot. Every one of us in this building have feelings. And I'm wanting God to work on my time frame, and sometime He doesn't. So I've got to go back to the Lord in prayer. And I know I've got to work on this emotion. I've got to work that I would be sanctified in spirit, in soul, and in body. We're good at sanctifying the body, but we're not very good at sanctifying the soul, the affections, and the desires, and the emotions of our life. They have to be sanctified as well. Oh, there's open doors that God would have us to walk through. He said, thou hast a little strength. Notice he noticed their ability. He identified their abilities. God knows what you're capable of. He knows what you're not capable of. What do you think as a Christian? And next year I want to spend some time. I've been praying and trying to get the mind of God on. Because there's so many passages of Scripture that Christ gives to us our mindset, how we should think in our mind. I really, this may be the battle that we're missing right here. If you can keep your mind right, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, this mind. Whose heart is in perfect peace? The man whose mind is stayed on thee. The mind. He said, I know your ability, but I also know your enemies. Notice he identified their enemies. He said, but I'm also going to tell you something about your outcome. You see, God knows our abilities this morning, and I really believe as a church, He's wanting us to walk through some open doors. I mean, I know there are some that just close the doors and just tie a knot in the rope till Jesus comes and hope to hang on and squeak through the pearly gates. That's just not my mentality. I see open doors. I see open doors. I said, I see open doors. I see opportunities and things to do for God. Children's ministry. How many working in children's ministry? You're a Sunday school teacher, or you work in children's ministry, or you cook for the bus children. Stand up real quick. I don't care if you sing a song, hold a puppet. I mean, that's awesome work right there. I said, that's an awesome work right there, aren't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many they have out there usually? 25 or 30? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had 75 or 100? Me and Brother Rob, we were talking to him. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if that children's, if we have the truth I said, if we're teaching them truth and the answer for this generation is not found in a classroom or a government handout, if it is Jesus Christ, then wouldn't it be wonderful if every Sunday 100 or 200 or 500 kids, amen, came through our bus ministry and came through the influence of Christ? That'd be an awesome, awesome thing. Amen. Thank God for this choir. But what if Brother Robbie had 100 or 150 in his youth group? I'm telling you, friend, I see open doors. I said, we've got the answer. It is the life-changing gospel message. It is Jesus Christ. He is the answer for what ails society. Every problem. I said, every problem. The answer for drugs. The answer for poverty. I said, the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer for illicit sex. The answer for unwed pregnancy. The answer for suicide. It is Jesus Christ. Open doors. But if we come in on Sunday morning and we want somebody to serve us and we never look for a way to serve. I said, if we come in on Sunday morning and we're wanting to be served, but we never in turn find that Christ then wants us to serve. Now I'm preaching to about 85% of you right there if you didn't notice it. Because the church runs on about 15% of people that are willing to serve. But I'm asking you, are you willing to walk through that door of service? Knowing what Christ has done for you, are you in turn ready to give back? We have a little strength. That's all we need. We're just a little church. That's all that we need. We're just a little youth group. That's all that we need. We just got a little money. That's all that God needs. It's not about us. If it was about us, then we would take the credit. If it was because of our ability, we'd want our name in light. But it's about Christ. It's about what He can do through a people that could otherwise not do it. Open doors. Then He gives them their outcome. He said, there's going to come a calamity that's going to try the whole earth. Matter of fact, everybody on the earth is going to be tried by the judgment and the wrath of God. But you know what He gives to this church? He gives a little promise. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. That's not talking about just a little Philadelphia trouble. He said it's going to try the entire world. You know what I believe that's a reference to? I believe that's a reference to when God pours out 7 years of tribulation upon this world. But what He promised the Philadelphians. It's what He's promised us today. That if we have held fast, if we have stayed true, He said, I will keep thee out. I'm going to pull you out. I'm going to exempt you. I'm coming quickly. You know what He's talking about? Get ready for this. He's talking about the rapture. He's talking about the catching away. Anybody in this building excited that Jesus Christ is coming soon? I said, yeah, He came as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and He died on Calvary, an ignominious death, and He was placed in a borrowed tomb, and He raised on Easter morning as the Prince of Peace. But friend, right now, He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and one day, very soon, the Father's going to look to the Son, Gabriel's going to pick up his trumpet, and all is going to break loose. I said that trumpet blast. It's going to bring the dead up out of the ground, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet them in the air. Backslide now, no. Give up now, no. Get lukewarm now, no. I'm getting ready. I said, I'm getting ready. The trumpet's sounding. Jesus is coming. I want to hold fast. So here's how we need to close up today. Are you holding fast? Are you holding fast? Need to get somebody younger. You're over 40, aren't you? I'm not there yet. Holding fast. Holding. I'm going to hold. I'm going to hold. I've come through too much. I'm going to hold fast. I got to hold fast my convictions. I got to hold fast my salvation. I'm covered in the blood. I'm washed in the ruby red blood of Jesus. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus is coming. I'm not giving up now. Anybody feel that spirit this morning? I'm not giving up now. I don't care what I got to go through. I don't care what I face. I don't care what trouble comes my way. I'm on the winning side. You may not see it now. The people you work with may not see it now. Your boss may not understand it now. But you're on the winning side. Because there's going to come a day when the tables get turned. And those that are serving God are going to walk with Him in white. And we're going to rule this world with Christ as our King. I say hold on. I say hold fast. I say stay true. Don't give up now. And let's look for some open doors. Anybody see any open doors God wants you to walk through right now? Amen. Brother Mark, help me this morning if you would on the music. Anybody see any open doors? You know, to me, some of the most depressed people are people that always have their eyes on themselves. They really are. And the most content people. I've met people that have stuff and don't have stuff. That have bank accounts and don't have bank accounts. And the common denominator, whether they're content or discontent, what are they looking at? And the people that are always looking at themselves, I don't feel good. I wish I had more. I. They're so discontent. But other people that seem like they always have the joy, that always have peace, and that are always looking for ways to serve others, are some of the most contented people you'll ever meet. You know why? They're walking through doors. I said they're walking through doors. Hallelujah. The devil wants us to close doors. The devil wants us to close some things down. But how many believe it's a day of open doors? How many believe it's a day of opportunities that we ought to do more now than ever, ever before? And if you're here today and you've not walked through the door of salvation, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the devil's using doubt, the devil's using fear, the devil's using all kinds of things to keep you from walking through that door. But I encourage you today. I said, I encourage you today. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He's got good things in store. You say, well, I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. I'm not worthy to preach. I'm not worthy to have my name in the book of life. It's about His grace. It's about His mercy. You say, well, I want to do more than I've ever done. Find the door God wants you to walk through. Sometimes, pastors, we try to do this. Here's the open door. Come on. You need to teach. Come on. You need to drive a bus. And we're trying to pull people through doors. And as soon as we let go of their hand, they whoop, run back on the other side of the door. But when you walk through the door, blessing, joy, peace, contentment. Jesus writes to this church. He said, I got some open doors. How about it this morning? Would you stand with me all over the building? God bless you. Hallelujah. Father, I love you today and I praise you. We magnify and glorify your name.